They will find in English up to that suggestion, and that what is presented in the Epistle to the Corinthians are the principles which ought to govern any company of the saints of God, not quite identified with the testimony universally in Romans 12. It's true, of course, but that's not the perspective here. But rather, in the local gatherings, as they assemble together, we have instructions as to how liberty should be given for the Spirit to operate in the local company of the saints of God as going to function for the pleasure of the Godhead.
I notice that the body is mentioned only twice in this chapter. Most of the references to the body are about the human body. If you remark, it's the spirit that is more prominent in this chapter.
The body is used as the vessel through whom the spirit acts. For, of course, the edification and the blessing of the saints of God, that ultimately, as I think it suggests, for the praise and the glory of God.
The conduct of the local company is for the pleasure of the Godhead.
Yes.
Is that because in this chapter we get the administration of the Lord, operation of the Son, the manifestation of the Lord?
Actually, we know, don't we, that in the teaching of this little section, that from the middle of chapter 11 to the end of chapter 14, we have the general instructions for our meetings and our assemblings together. And I think, as our brother quoted in prayer from chapter 14, God is amongst you of a truth. And here we shall find, then, as we seek to break them up, that the spirits objectively, under the administration of the Lord objectively, brings to light an operation that is for the praise and the glory of God. Wrapped up in this, and the subject of power of it all, the Holy Spirit of God. When you think just a word about this introduction, it's not very applicable to us today. And what I mean directly, he had reminded them of the days when they were idol worshippers. They had believed fabulous tales. They could neither prove nor disprove the things that were told. They were told them these things, they simply accepted them. They couldn't prove them. And very seriously, they were led away to the worshipping of idols and had no means of qualifying or proving the things that were said to them. And the apostle uses that as a preface to assure them how vastly different that is now in Christianity.
The verses do have some application today, have they not?
Well, when I said directly, I don't think any one of us today will ever captivated in the worship of idols as such. But the principle abides that the day when men could neither prove what we said or disprove things are wrong. And hence an instruction, as we have it in this chapter, gives us a criterion whereby we can test these things whether they are wrong.
Following that up, the one asks the question as to whether these manifestations are necessarily shut up to those who are unbelievers.
What do you mean, Philip?
Just this, that in these verses we have those who are speaking quite evidently not with the Spirit of God. They're saying things derogatory to the Lord Jesus, and to be in such a state isn't necessarily the fortune of the unbeliever. Sad to say, a believer might fall in that position. It's with a view to testing ministry, is it not?
Well, it is. But I think if we recollect again that they had not the New Testament scriptures that we have today, that all ministry at that time was awful. And they had been those who were found in that company, activated by the spirit of demonology and not by the Holy Spirit of God. And hence this necessary check was given them in regard to the, I suppose, the presentation of the Lord Jesus Christ, either honoring or dishonoring him in the temple. It certainly is a test, of course, of all time, as to whether this thing is of God or not.
But I dare say that many of these people, you know, that we've read over us, great speakers, and they're going to be able to carry away simple souls. And the simple text that the apostle put upon these people, very much as they were reading, was that they were able to detect that they weren't of the Spirit of God. They actually said, curse on Jesus. Well, of course, you and me, we would detect that immediately, wouldn't we? But it seems as though that the Corinthians were in such a bad state that the apostle had to tell them that.
What I had in mind was that these folk are actually in the Christian company. They were foreigners, and I suppose the challenge does come to us as to whether those who are speaking are on the lines of the exaltation of Christ. The question is really, they were led away. Now they were led by the Spirit.
Well, the idea of being led away was like a flock of sheep, as they say. They just followed without any judgment in themselves. Why, you remember in chapter 10, he had said to them, I speak as to spiritual men. Judge you what I say. There is a great ability in them now to judge things that never was there before. Now, if we might just say in regard to what was being suggested about them being in the Christian company, it doesn't, of course, follow that they were believers. They were in the company of the company of people. Who they were, of course, in this late day, we can hardly tell. But there apparently had been those who, in that company, had been standing up performing the speech on behalf of God. But what they said between them that they were not of God at all. But that, of course, was in relation to the publicness, right? And now he's going on to show them the positive side of that public ministry that was of God and for the blessing of his people.
Isn't it exactly necessary for us to go into the question as to whether they're believers or not, is it? But it's a question of the speaking, what they say. And we've got the test here.
Yes,
the word on the speaking by the Spirit of God,
would they pay me ministers of God, but they didn't want Jesus Christ?
Well, we don't quite know who the minister is. I hope that we come with an instance, you remember, you had been come with some time ago with our brother Alex Flair in Yarmouth. When in the marketplace we had one of these discs by the so-called Jehovah's Witness. Well, we were just walking around for a breath of fresh air. I said, let's listen, Alex, just for a moment, to see if this man ever called Jesus Lord.
No, he didn't.
We listened about an hour, just to check the thing, not that we were interested, but just to check the thing. And never once, he said, spoke of Jesus, he spoke of the Messiah, he spoke of the Master, and the Teacher, and Christ. He never once said Lord. Jonathan was the man, I suppose, on the record.
Now, it's quite possible, of course, for somebody to read the scriptures and mention the name of the Lord. But that's not exactly what we have here, is it? It's something that comes instinctively from those who have a vital link with the Lord himself. And prompted by the Spirit, we say from our hearts today. And we know what we are saying, don't we, when we say Lord Jesus.
So now he goes on to show that while there has to be watchfulness in regard to that which is not of God, we need perhaps exercise and watchfulness in regard to what is of God. And hence he goes on now to show them and to say there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. It isn't that everybody is doing the same thing in exactly the same way, and do the same thing at the same time. Well, Mr. Bessie will write, but there will be something of a unifying effect about this that is easily discernible when the thing is of God in the power of the Spirit.
I know this would be expression same spirit is used about 5 or 6 times less, again proving that unity, that unifying force of which you have spoken. The same spirit.
Is that one object, the exaltation of Christ?
It's put here, and the thing that we might say here comes to light in this chapter is not only what is there, but what is active there. It's a point that is not always seen in the chapter. It's not really having a great being there. The whole chapter is really that the message we're there together, but the fact that gives us others are there, and not only there.
Manifested
all the time. It's a word of wisdom. These all workers, the manifestation, is looking at. And when we said a little earlier about the manifestation of the Godhead, so far as we are concerned, operating together, it's easily discernible in verses 4, 5, and 6. The subject of the promotion is led by the Spirit of God. We see that among the vessel further down. It's under the control of the Lordship of Christ in administration, and whatever is effected is directly for the pleasure of God. I think we have three very simple checks here, and that are, I suppose, necessary to everyone. The only thing that's of any help or should ever be expressed in the local county of the saints of God is that which is prompted by the Holy Spirit of God. But that's only one. However right the thing may be, however much ability any one of us may have, we have no right to exercise that ability except under the administration of the Lord. And if it is by the Spirit, and under exercise directly under the administration of the Lord, there is going to be an operation effected for the glory of God. That's how living together.
Just a suggestion, brother, from a woman saying these things, that if one has to be a word, it's given by the Spirit. And the Lord Jesus prepare the way and the time. And the result is the end of it is God answers to it.
Well, I was tested some time ago by a statement by our brother Mr. Richardson. I seem to remember his statement better than he remembers himself. But I must say that arrested me in our meeting in Newcastle, when he said, first of all, in an open meeting, I had to decide whether I had a word from the Lord at all. Remember that?
Yes.
And he said, secondly, I had a dream to decide, does he want me to give it up this moment? And I'm quite sure that's in these verses.
I don't think the mere passing through one's mind of a suitable line of ministry is necessary to prove that let's give it up. Because that might be sure there was a many brothers in the meeting. And it was written in the first place.
Well, he may not go on.
So whether you were from the Lord.
Yes.
That's the word the Lord wanted to give it. Yes. And it's the word the Lord wanted to give it now.
Oh, yes. Very good. Very good.
Yes. Well, if it's of the Spirit, and the Lord provides the time, and the place and the time, it already answers the glory of God. That is, as the simple one would give it out. What must I learn from?
I think that there's still a fourth point, if I may so to say. But in Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Canticles, I think the Proverbs would tell you what to do. And the Ecclesiastes will tell you when to do it. The Canticles will give you the spirit in which to do it.
No.
That's right.
Well, that's a 13th chapter.
It is there.
So there's a tremendous contrast, isn't there, but that which is organized by man, a society of people may come together and each of them may claim the right to have a part in that meeting, whatever meeting may convene. But isn't it true that there's none of us got any right apart from the working of the Spirit of God Himself?
Sure, that. We haven't even got any ability to help anybody apart from the Spirit of God.
Church of God is not a democratic institution, is it?
Very good, it is not. I very well remember a statement of Mr. Darby's. He said that the Assembly of God, the only place where a man can go up and say what he likes and nobody to check it. I believe it ought to be in the hands of local brethren. If ministry is given that the right to judge is not of the Lord, not helpful, they have a perfect right to say it.
Glad you said that, because some people seem to think that the man continues saying something is not possible. He's got to be allowed to carry on. But if you the word elders.
I don't know what, but I said the local brethren, I meant those in control of the local meeting.
I think the elders of a local meeting,
yes, that's
are right. Right to ask a man to sit down. What he said is not possible.
I go with that.
Would you say? You see, I do not know. I remember an instance at the Whitney Day meeting, the fellowship meeting.
Yes.
Where the brother was asked to sit down.
Yes, I was there too. The point that we don't want to label is not going on, but it is a point which we want to bear in mind that James has said, and the verse has said, well, on the one hand, the church is not to be ruled by one man, as it was his church. On the other hand, we're not a lot of spiritual socialists, or if Mr. Hurst were a Democrat, we would also want the right one.
I suppose the whole atmosphere of these two chapters is marked by the atmosphere of authority. The closing verses in the 14th chapter speak that he that is spiritual is with knowledge that these are the commandments of the Lord. That is why in this chapter we have the Lordship of Christ but not His headship. It's the control, godly control.
What did you say?
I was just going to go to the 14th and talk to him.
If a brother has a word, and the brother is giving the word, he has to be so spiritually sensitive as to know that so far through what he said, he's to sit down.
Yes.
Because it's been given to another to come.
Right.
That was chapter 14. Oh, yes. We are taking the whole section just at the moment where I suggested in the coming to bear on the whole army of people who's in these chapters.
We made a very striking and no doubt brilliant example in the case of the Apostle Paul himself. In 2 Corinthians 12, he says there, we speak before God in Christ, and all things beloved for your building up. Now that's very, very close to what we have here, isn't it? Before God in Christ and for your building up. The very words that come out in the same.
And so we are assured that wherever a manifestation of the Spirit is given, it's given with a view to profit for everyone. It's not to exalt the man who gives it. It's not for any other reason, but to profit the saints of God who come under the power. Mark you, we find, of course, this is not only the ministry of the truth. This is perhaps the widest distribution of gift that we have in any other chapter of the New Testament. We haven't read it all. That's why I don't know all the end of the chapter. But it does give us a greater distribution of gift in this chapter than the one we read together yesterday.
You could hardly conceive of any failure, could you, with such a working in connection with the body here.
Well, have we got to humbly admit to ourselves, Mr. Doherty, when there is failure, some of us, all of us, or one of us is being blamed for it. All right. I'm very spirit for it.
Yes, but I'm thinking of the rule of the Godhead working in connection with these gifts, diversities of gifts, and the different operations that there are. I mean, they're all working
Spirit of God. We couldn't really anticipate any failure in that, could we?
Well, you're taking the problem on the end of a government in the right. And this check that is given, man, it might lead to godly control, but things may be right. It's perhaps by the disregard of these instructions that things don't go right. That's what I'm just trying to suggest in what you're saying.
Because it's an encouragement But God is going to have a manifestation of himself now. Now, when that day comes, the whole Christian company will be needed for that manifestation. So it is true for every one of us, especially in the local sphere, in present complete conditions, a very encouragement to say us all on the lines of being on the lines of this.
I'm glad you're not at that end. That's right.
Because we get better encouragement than we are from reading the word together today, I'm sure of that. That's why I'm glad to say so many of our young people appreciate
the fact that you have pointed out that in this chapter we have the widest distribution of the gifts of the Spirit of God. Could be an encouragement for the world.
Yes. That these things help some things like that further down the road, you see.
We didn't read the end of the chapter, of course, no, but the end of the chapter itself answers the question that we raised. All apostles, all prophets, do all speak with tongues? Well, the obvious answer is no. There are some doing things that you're not doing. That doesn't say that you should be doing them. Each one of us our own place, haven't we?
Oh, yes.
In regard to use of all this question, I suppose there is just the possibility that comes out later in the chapter that the young man might covet something that he considers more important function in the body, which is not really, and that the brother who has that particular function might exercise this gain with regard to the simpler one.
Yes, we said that's in that chapter.
He is deeming the other as more excellent than himself.
Well, now, I do not doubt, Mr. Hearn, that would lead to a proper manifestation of the Spirit of God in it by your way. Yes, right.
We have the opposite in Diabetes.
We have
to have
something, yes.
The preeminent.
That's right.
How could the Spirit of God be preeminent if the man is preeminent? How can it be the minister of Christ?
Yes, and I don't mind just saying for the moment when I speak of clericalism, you know, I'm thinking of ourselves as well as anybody else when I use it. Certainly, if we're asked to get to that, if we don't look out and hear the chapter that will awaken with us and our movements as we come together.
Do you not think we have it in John's Catechism? The beloved gears. At the beginning, the practical Demetrius at the end, and Diabetes sandwiched between.
Now, the wrong is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Things that don't need a lot of explanation, only the one says this, it doesn't say to all. To all. It says to one. To another, not to every. Then, the word of knowledge, for the by the same Spirit. And then at the end of one thing to another, faith, by the same Spirit, to another, the gift of healing, by the same Spirit. Well, this is one of the places where, with this great attempt today to refine these more, what we mentioned as all these spectacular gifts, but the very place they go to support it comes in for him. Because they are placed for him that everybody should reach out there in the very place where it says it isn't given to everybody. It's only given to this one or to that one.
Just in regard to that line of things which is so apparent as we have contact with others in Christendom that led to my full point in the first part of this chapter. Now, a lot of these faith healing campaigns have got a great deal to say about the man who's the leader of the campaign. But I just get to support in 1 Corinthians 12 is with a gift of the exaltation, not of the leader of the campaign, but of Christ. It was the principle of the thing that was on the mind.
What you are speaking about is not diversity
Indeed, you may tell me, they didn't catch what they did, you were wrong and it's right. That's what they end up. What I've said about that, Mr. Joy, that however, if there's only two brothers in a meeting, if they devote it to the Lord's interest, they see that there's sufficient good there to carry on. If the meeting expands, will there be a division? And I'm persuaded if we go to simply give sufficient, there is only the two to do to carry on that meeting.
Is it wisdom? Knowledge? And faith? Why not?
According to the condition.
It doesn't say wisdom and knowledge. It says the word. But tell us something
about that. That's what I was saying a little earlier. It is not only emphasized here that gift is there. What is emphasized that gift is operating there? It's an exercise.
So that once we are all, it's one of the things that we are made in Christ, aren't we? Made of God in Christ, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. That's first chapter of 1 Corinthians, of course. But here it's the word of wisdom, isn't it?
Yes, right.
It's a person that's able really to bring a word in that's going to help settle the matter.
So if there isn't a solemn in the meeting, you would say then the Spirit would give a word perhaps to a very simple brother who not said anything wrong.
Very possible.
It's remarkable, isn't it? Every one in this very epistle has the very thing he says to them. And don't look at these members great in the world and their business. Isn't there a few simple souls in the meeting capable of judging this matter? They've got the divine wisdom, you saw.
Three years of youth, Father, wasn't it?
Was.
The place of privilege it takes to be in a small meeting, in the what is requisite in that assembly, may be confined to two or three of them. And the Lord has his eye on the two, supplied all the two.
Now, if it's possible, I suppose that you were saying before, for these things to be given, given to the saints, even in a very small local assembly, and yet not be used.
Yes.
I think a chapter like this, it would stir every one of our hearts, wouldn't it? Whether we belong to a big assembly or a small assembly, whether the gathering is a big one or a small one, it would exercise every one of our hearts, wouldn't it?
Yes, I remember a brother once saying to me, he said, I won't begin the meeting, I'll be with you in spirit. I said, I'd have been more encouraged if you'd been there in person.
You sometimes find that even in larger assemblies, the responsibility might rest largely on one or two who are really exercised to take any active part. So how do these brothers who are willing to sit back and do very little connection with the assembly total.
Well, all you can do is try and bring a chapter like this before them to show that if they're sitting there assuming they haven't got anything to add, this chapter will tell them that they have. And the sooner they're going to exercise about it, the better. Mr. Darby would tell them a lot about that in his reading John Corinthians. I remember saying it many years ago somewhere. There is every more devotion than we more gift. Now, what I think it meant wasn't that devotion brings the gift, but in light of this chapter, it will bring a little more into evidence.
Isn't it right to see gifts, Davidson, as something once given, and not something that's given, shall we say, in addition to what was given at the beginning? But rather, you come in with the gift that is there.
Okay. Well, yes, quite right, if you're thinking of the one body. Yes. But then there are individuals, of course, who compose it in the members of the body, as is the human body is taken to describe that.
And I thought you meant that when we are first introduced into that body by the Spirit, then the gift is given, however much the vessel may be developed in its display. Yes, well, that's the case. Point.
That in itself is perfect, isn't it? Just like the fact that a person is a member of the body, is entirely to do with the word of God. And that's not perfect.
You know, there are four things said just for the moment about that gift given to Timothy. It's very striking. Two in the first epistle, and two in the second. I think it's in the first epistle he said, the gift of God by the laying on of my hands. And in the second epistle, the gift by the word of prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I'm not sure if I wrote them in the right epistle. I think it is something struck me that I got them the wrong way around. Because he emphasizes the gift of God, that's why in the second epistle, and his apostolic succession by the laying on of my hands. Well,
come on, this is not for.
Well, in the first epistle, it was a passage from the prophetic word, and the brethren laid their hands upon it. And I wouldn't like to keep on speaking if the brethren didn't lay their hands upon me, for you.
No. Go on, what did you say? I just want to say a few more words. In the first epistle, the laying on of the hands of the presbytery or the elders was merely an act of association. But in the second epistle, when Paul laid hands on Timothy, the actual communication of the gift was given by the laying on of hands.
Now, when we come to wisdom, would it not be like for any one of us or every one of us to seek wisdom? It's called not here as a gift.
Well, that's what Mr. Duffy had in mind, I think, when he referred to the first chapter, who of God has made unto us wisdom. That's wisdom for the pathway along which we are going. I think this is wisdom in relation to a crisis that may come in, and amongst the saints of God, when suddenly a brother, it may be outside of the meeting, a sister may just have the right word to solve the problem.
You see that in Paul's mediation, don't you? Paul can be called in the world of wisdom.
Yes, that's right. With the idea of wisdom is the solution of modern problems.
I suppose in the Old Testament, the type is when the priest arises with the Urim and Thummim. Yes. With the mind of God bear on the situation, the word of wisdom is spoken, and the question is answered.
You see, we all know that Solomon is the most outstanding type of the Lord Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God. But why use that term about the Lord Mariah as the solution of every moral problem in the universe in Christ? The wisdom of God. Now, you see, the assumption is here that if a being is moving rightly and room is being made for the Spirit of God to act, there will be the solution of the moral problem there when it's needed.
So that in a crisis, Solomon says, divide the chaff and brings to light that which was living material, didn't it? That's a crisis, but he was marked by wisdom because he says he spoke of all kinds of things.
He first said, Mr. Davidson, that you wouldn't like to continue speaking to your brethren if you didn't lay the hands on you.
Yes.
Now, in saying that, veneration is not only to speaking, but to the functioning of any gift.
That's right.
That doesn't necessarily mean, does it, that your brethren will always agree with what you do to keep functioning in your gift.
Well, just to put that in the right perspective, if I felt lame on a certain line of service and position, then so there, spiritual brethren whom I knew about the welfare of the meeting and my welfare of art, if they told me the thought that wasn't my line of things, I should seriously consider whether I was right or wrong. What I learned, I think, really, in going about the meetings is this. It matters not how little I have to offer. If it's of a spiritual character, the brethren will only be too glad to attend it. That's what I think.
Do you think that question
wasn't finished then?
I beg your pardon,
sorry, that might be.
I was going to say that, I think it's true to say, isn't it, that if, because a gift is functioning naturally, it doesn't always bring universal popularity.
Well, No, no one could be one, but the other side isn't doing anything. There may be just the other side, when I feel impressed of the Lord in a certain thing, and others may come along and say, I think it's wrong. Well, number one, I've got this impression from the Lord, thanks for your advice, but I feel I'm wrong with this, in time will tell. Now, if the moment will come, and the brethren, that will say, yes, we were wrong, you were right. It will come.
But the word given to Ezekiel, it is whether they will hear, or whether they shall hear. You have to see.
The apostle was so sure that he had the mind of the Lord in regard to that, even the face of the Christians who were examining him. In chapter 4, he speaks to those who examine him. The one who has been the steward, the mistress of God.
But that's the image that they give them, the marks of his apostleship.
It was the apostle that was on my mind. Didn't he say to the Corinthians, I counted it very little matter if I had judged with you? He didn't say that to the Corinthians. He said to the Corinthians. And I think it's a very practical matter, really. If somebody comes and tries to deflect you, and their spiritual work isn't heavenly well, I don't think you need to have hairbreadth for it. But on the other hand, if a Philippian comes along to you, and thanks be to God, you know such, I think it's worth taking very serious concern and regard to what they have to say to you.
So the spiritual was just by the unspiritual.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I was about to run up to Mr. Duffy when you're speaking now to extremes. And I said, what is when things are moving normally and right and the other ones are going all wrong? And that's what happened in the city. I'm not saying that you can be sure then what is it God will be with you. So it was with these Corinthians, but this letter put them right.
Just referring to Mr. Fox's question of the I don't know whether that was on his mind or not, but he mentioned the coveting of the gift, the desiring of the gift. He says to one is given so-and-so, to another so-and-so. But according to the later chapter, we are each of us exhorted to desire the best
gift. Yes, right. Yes, yes. Now that was in contrast, wasn't it, to the sure gifts? Feeling, speaking with that. Among the very effect that we meet somebody, when our mind is passed on the spiritual world, it will be there and miserable eternally. Cover that much better than eating the body.
That's the real spirit of Christianity.
Yes. Yes, Christian ambition.
Building up the Constitution.
Right.
What I mean to say is, it's not within the small sense of saying, oh, well, he hasn't the gift, and he hasn't the gift, and she hasn't the gift, and therefore we can do nothing about it.
That's right. No, no. Stare at the gift of God that is within the head.
I'm glad that side being impressed, because it's happening to Mr. Brodie's word. There might be a little tendency in the small meeting of two or three to rather prefer it that way. Imagine if they're always concentrated in the small down there. And during my stay, when things are in a pretty bad way, my people love to have it so. Well, I'm not wanting to be in a small meeting. I trust that there might be the exercise and office of the evangelist to please to bring in another one. What a bigger meeting if possible.
Well, we should be always aiming to increase. Oh, yes, we don't want to decrease.
Yes, increase beyond one meeting to bring in two.
That's right. That's right.
That's the increase the Lord looks for.
That's right. But whether it's a small meeting, or whether it's a large meeting, these are the principles the Lord has gotten if it's going to go right for the pleasure of the Lord.
This is the gift universal of the Lord.
Not in this chapter, I mean, mysterious heart. The Lord will be given just a little everywhere. Children do the same thing again, but we are trying to get the different impressions from the different things. That's why we don't get the gift of the evangelist here. This is the local company functioning when they come together.
That is the Corinthian company.
The Corinthian company. And that's why we have no connection with Christ neither in the chapter. He's all shared in one section.
Look
whatever we desire, it's God that giveth increase, isn't it?
That's right.
Of course, this scripture is really, of course, addressed, you might say, primarily to the Corinthian church, but in a sense, it's the universal epistle, a general epistle, because it's addressed also to them who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus.
Jesus Christ is
a general epistle. We're
not going to
forget about it.
Well, the point has been often said that these different things that came to light in God, all of the red for the apostle to write this letter that has laid down the condition for the coming together of the local company for all time. That's where we get the game. Something like the letters to the seven assemblies. The conditions were there that brought to light these letters that are so useful at such a late date in the church's history. That's true.
What you say then, Mr. Davidson, about the argument which we hear sometimes, if this is instruction for the local assembly in a gathering such as this, where we come together from local assemblies to a composite assembly,
yes,
we dispense with these.
Oh, no, we can't. Yes, I don't. We can't. Well, oh yes, I remember that. Well, I came around and said, well, very well, now, if that is so, you show me the scripture that will tell me how to gather in a composite assembly. Worker. It's not proclaiming the position and sitting tight on it. more than anything to divorce in relation to it. No, they're working.
Indeed, if this truth really gripped our souls, we feel a responsibility in regard to the whole Christian company that we contact, you know. Only this much, to bring them onto that ground which we ourselves occupy.
Well, that is, of course, our exercise.
If we viewed it from the top of the rocks, as Pierre did, perhaps we would see the thing functioning in all its perfection and beauty. Would we not?
Well, I don't know.
I'm speaking of it now in the universal sense, rather than limiting it to a local company.
I don't think it is around things limited here to a local company.
Yes.
At the setting of the chapter.
Yes, that doesn't alter the fact that when he said he had not beheld perverseness in Israel, that actually there was very great.
Oh, right. I say that if we were to look at the things from the top of the rocks, I think that we would be encouraged to exercise gift that has been given to us.
You know, when I tried to suggest that yesterday, you would push me here. Now, when you go, you would push me back to Romans 12.
It's there.
Come back to
the that's Romans 12. It was Romans 12 that we were on yesterday. And it's a reason that our brother Mr. Scott is quoting from the gift is universal to all body. Here's the local company.
Well, then you're pretty
well. The sort of hit me yesterday, that in view of the record, which is around, as we can't deny, is it like the natural body, say, a moving finger, that means the hand, but the hand will function in spite of the finger being missing. It affects the arm,
that's
it affects
right.
The whole body,
yes.
But the body will adapt itself to function without that.
Well,
I was just wondering in this line that a local assembly has to seek to function according to the will of the Lord in spite of any breakup that's actually taking place, and they're functioning into the body. Is that right?
Well, now that's what I was trying to maintain yesterday. That what again was singular. I don't want to deal without any saint of God in the whole wide world. I have a right to be angry with every saint of God in Newcastle. Everyone. But then on the other hand, I can't. There must be a system moving on lines where I can adore in the light of the scripture like this. I want them there, but if they won't come there, I still just go on to this. But I hope I feel the mess of them. And I quite believe that if we were all together, we'd all be a lot better in Newcastle if every saint of God was moving with us. And that's why I just tried to hold the Christian company in chapter 12 of Romans and the local company in the light of it answering to the leader. I know some remarkable men in the city where I live, men that are obviously gifted. They're in such a sphere that I can't get the feeling that it because there's to my mind. Remember, it's hard to call it willfulness, the many don't know. But they're not subject to the will of the law, as I was calling attention to, in subjection to which other one is. Because obedience, of course, is better than sacrifice.
Because one man, place of worship would be mentioned, how could be made clear that not the thing is place of worship.
Well, yeah. Yes, that's just the common term, of course, Mr. Stone.
This is an answer that's not the law of Moses. Personally,
I'm wondering what our attitude would be as you just referred to this, and to these people who we consider are not just quite in the right minds. What is our attitude to get them to come into the sphere as we consider to be correct?
Help them on the ground with the 12th chapter of Romans, and then you might get them with the 12th of 1st Corinthians. See now? Help them on the ground of Romans 12, because they are for the believers like yourself, and love the Lord as much as you do, and say, much as you can on that line, and ultimately you might get them on this line and be able to break bread and move them.
Now, a little was said earlier in relation to verse 11, the self-same spirit divided to every man separately as he will. So that this seemed to be some measure of sovereignty. Something else was also said about verse 31, covet earnestly the best gifts. Now, how can the two be correlated?
Well, we said a little earlier about the two sides that while the priest is sovereign, apparently these Corinthians have got so unbalanced that they were all desiring to speak with tongues and dominion, something of course spectacular, and really appeals in a large measure to the flesh or the natural instincts. And well, don't be so interested in that sort of thing. Be more desirous of the spiritual gift, that which is going to be effective. For perhaps some of these men had a gift that would have helped the saints of God, where their wisdom, where their knowledge, etc., that they were despising that to try and give some money when they're living on the power. I think that's the point, isn't it?
Of course, the speaking with the tongues, the working of miracles, there were spiritual gifts.
Oh, of course, there were. Yes, indeed. But the apostle was saying there was something better. You remember in the 14th chapter, he applies the very thing to himself. He said about the gift of tongues and things. He said, that soon as we find words in the Spirit that somebody can understand and get help from. Keeps the balance. But we have much more time just to consider these latter portions of it. For as the body is one, and as many members, all the members of that one body, that's the human body, I suppose, being many are one body, now he says, so also is of the Christ. This is a, what we might call a debatable point. What is mentioned here is Christ himself, or the local worldly body, as the anointed vessel. I must say for myself, without attention to present, I think it's the local body, the anointed vessel.
This is the only time such expressions use.
As far as I'm aware, the only time it is used, the word is not speaking of the Lord, it's speaking of the body. So also is it ours.
The body is captive. You can't consider the body without.
There is not here at all. This is the body of the vessel for the manifestation of the Spirit. And that's why I think in this one place, it refers to this one body as being anointed in the power of the Spirit of God. Might not work, does it?
Do you think it at all that the second verse gives us power? I'll read it. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam.
No, I would say that to Ephesians 1, 3, and 4, but not yet.
Not yet.
Or if you like Colossians 2.
Much about grammar, but is it what you call the definite article here?
Yes.
And then as Mr. Darby says, so also is the Christ,
the anointed.
Well, would that not put the saints in a parallel way, hearing testimony as Christ is himself?
But what do you guess? I believe that.
Well, I think that's
the same verse, isn't it?
What?
You see, you only have the very word anointing that is used there, perhaps, in the second epistle, the first chapter, is the same way you have the of Christ.
Being the body, Christ
will
give it the
character.
So also is.
I don't think so here. I think it's the Spirit that gives it the character, and that's why I think the anointing comes in. So also is the Christ. It's the anointed vessel, is it? Wrong?
You can leave the word yourself, but Mr. Darby puts in brackets, so also the
Christ. Yes, yes, why? That helps a little bit more. Yes, it does, Mr. Darby. Why? I thought that was just an italics here. You see, it's the body. And the other members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also the Christ. As you said, I said I wasn't going to press it, you probably think I am. But I'm only trying to explain what it is that we can have.
The last phrase in the next verse seems to corroborate that.
Well,
I'm drinking into
one spirit, not attached to the head.
Right. I'm rather speaking of a grammar.
I think one of the best grammarians amongst us.
Four, you see, in this conjuncture. Four, by one spirit. Now, it does seem to have been there, doesn't it?
It really puts the body on a very wonderful level.
That's what I see about it. As Mr. Dufferty has very carefully said, he was Christ in this world, and not even thought that he might represent God to this world as he did. He's in heaven. He's another vessel, and not even by the Spirit to represent God in this world. The very thing you quoted in your prayer, representing God in this world.
The wonderful thing that I just wonder sometimes as to how much the Spirit of God has that on our hearts as a constant abiding truth. Sometimes we catch a glimpse of it in a meeting like this, but as to how far the measure of it remains with us throughout the 365 days of the year, surely must be a very, very interesting.
Well, go to me. Oh, yes. The value of this wonderful vessel that has brought us into all these infinite grace.
Absolutely.
My persecutor stole me.
Yes. That's the head again, isn't it? The head and the body, yes.
It was the same idea as this.
Well, yes, the anointed vessel. Quite.
What is it? Is somebody else with me?
I'm just going to say that saying that it's the thought of the local assembly that's brought before us, God would bring before us the dignified place that each one of us have in any given place where we live, as associated with the local assembly, wherever we moved, wherever we were in our sphere of working, we are always in that local representation way, aren't we, of that assembly. And wherever we go or wherever we say, we are associating those saints who represent the local assembly. We are associating them with us. It would carry a dignity with it, wouldn't it? And it would make us careful as to what we did say and as to where we did go, how we acted. Every one of us, whether we are taken over or part or whether we didn't, we are all there in form. Part of that wonderful assembly.
Well, I'm just going to say about it that very verse, Mr. Doherty. We began on Saturday night with filling the whole house, filling each one of them. Well, here it is. Baptized by one spirit into one body, there's the collective thing, and of all we need to drink into one spirit, there's the individual. You're not only put there, as it were, by the spirit and the operation of the spirit, you have your personal supply of the spirit that you might function. Each one of us.
Isn't the company equivalent then of Galatians 2:20? For me to live is Christ.
Well, that's more the individual exercise of the servant there, isn't it?
That's right. And isn't the company the same thought, isn't it? The Christ.
You mean the objective to live? Well, Matthew, it is that here. It isn't an objective we're going for here. It is that. Well, Paul, it was the objective he went in for.
He did say, for me, do you think that's objective there?
I don't.
I thought it was practical.
Well, of course, but I mean the objective that he went in for was that at all times, under all circumstances, Christ might come to life in his body before. That was the objective there for which he lived. This is actually a thing in existence,
yeah.
And not the objective before anybody's eye.
No longer I.
Well, that's the individual exercise. Now, this thing is being said again. You remember an equivalent, has it? In the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, ye are the epistle of Christ. It doesn't say you are the You are. These are things that are actually in existence. Of course, I quite agree with what Mr. Leverty said. When I realize the thing is in existence, my exercise should be to move in relation to it.
Well, that very passage in Corinthians, let it be manifestly declared. Yeah, the source, let it be manifestly declared.
Did you see what's meant by the term baptism?
Well, the idea in the term baptism is a complete submerging. The literal meaning of the word means submerged. And the result is we are submerged into an entity that is envy so far as that entity is concerned. As envy of everything else that matters, Jew or Greek, as it should be here, bond or free, I don't carry those things into that circle. I merge in something completely new, this anointed body.
This was used once by the person who professed to be a Christian in the open air, asking William Greek once if he had received the second blessing. And this was what he was referring to, being baptized by the Spirit. Will he ready up? He said, the second blessing. He says, I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. He said, that includes the second one as well. He says, I've got them all.